May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Do you ever find yourself thinking there is not enough time in the day, that you can't seem to find all the time you need to do what you want to do? And have you ever stared intently at a clock, at the hands slowly moving around the face? I remember a visit to Greenwich a few years back. My husband and I waited with other people from all over the world to have our chance to stand in the center of time. Afterwards, we joined in with a tour that took us through the history of timekeeping. Beautiful oak clocks of various shapes and sizes were displayed around the room. And there was one particular clock that made an impression on me. It was not the largest, the most beautiful, nor the oldest, but it grabbed my attention. I watched and counted as the seconds, then the minutes passed by. I wondered about the history behind this clock. And after a time, I began to feel uneasy. The constant ticking, the passing of time, made me sad, even a bit fearful. For there is discomfort in watching the clock. Time runs on ahead. Time is consumed, and time is consuming. It cannot be stopped. I wanted to say something to stop the time. But what can be said? What do we say in the face of time? Now, this is an important question, and not surprisingly, in today's dramatic telling of the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus points us to an answer. In this story, we catch a glimpse of the world outside the confines of time. We are drawn into a place where good confronts evil, where heaven meets earth, where past, present, and future come together in Christ. Luke sets the scene, telling us that the Spirit sends Jesus into a desolate and lonely wilderness. And after 40 days of praying and fasting, the devil shows up to torment him with three questions. He says, "Why not simply change stone into bread? For you could feed the hungry with this bread. And surely this would be a sign of God's kingdom on earth." Now this sounds logical, but Jesus is not fooled. So the devil tries again. "If you want to show God's power, you will only need to worship me. So go and jump from the highest tower in Jerusalem and trust in God's power to bring you safely to the ground. This will certainly guarantee that the people will believe in you." Now, this doesn't sound too bad. After all, wouldn't Jesus want the people to believe in him? Well, again, he sees through the devil's trick. He understands that God's power is not displayed through acts of showmanship. And so the devil tries one more time. Why not take dominion over every kingdom, and from a position of complete control, you can do away with evil and declare the one and only kingdom of God? Now again, Jesus is not fooled, for he understands there is more here at stake than meets the eye. He knows that in the figure of this devil, he is facing the powers of evil and destruction in our world. And the real question all along, will Jesus rely on this false power, or will he trust in God? And of course, we know the answer, that where the people of God failed throughout the centuries, and where we fail today, Jesus succeeds. He resists temptation, and he puts his trust in God. Now, you might be thinking this is all very interesting, but what does it have to do with us today, here on the first Sunday in Lent? How does this story of devils in the wilderness help us to live in the reality of the darkness in our world today? Well, one way is by helping us to see that God is with us in the wilderness. As we allow him into our lives, we learn to live in the mystery of God's great love for us. And this changes everything. From here, we can enjoy the gift of living in the present. And as we do, our eyes are open to God's grace in the world around us. Since coming to St. Peter's, I have spent a lot of time with children, and they have taught me much about living in the grace of God. For children are open to God. They see and experience the life of faith in a way that is challenging to the rest of us. Children propel us into the present moment. They help me to capture the joy and freedom of today. And it is here, free from the constraints of time, where I stop, watch and wait, and catch a glimpse of myself as a child of God. Now, the other week during our confirmation class, we finished the lesson a bit early. So I asked the young people to write down any question they might have for God. Now, they wrote some wonderful questions. How did God make the world? Where do people go after they die? Why can't we see God? What type of food will we have in heaven? And one very good question addressed to me personally: do you really believe that God is real? And if he is, why are there so many bad things in the world? Now, I must admit, my first reaction was to say to myself, well, I did ask them to write these questions. Now, what will be my response? Because although there is no simple or easy answer to this question, it is a very good question and one that we all need to ask. Because it just may be that in our asking is where we get to the heart of our faith. For this is the very question that Jesus confronts in the wilderness. He takes on evil and suffering, but not in the way we might think. Jesus faces the corruption of power through humility and sacrifice, and he calls us all to join with him to confront the darkness in our age with his mercy. Now, we may not face devils in the wilderness, yet we do see injustice all around us. War in Syria, refugees in search of hope, homeless people at our doorstep, to name only a few. And our temptation may be to say there is nothing we can do, that the problem is much too big for us. And yet, as we walk through this season of Lent, as we prepare for Easter, let's remember that the light of Christ shines in the darkness, and he calls us all to follow him. And so my answer to the young girl's question is, yes, I do believe in God. I believe in God not because I have great faith or because I am a good person, but I believe in God because he first believed in me, just as he believes in all of you. And so for a moment, let's take our eyes off the ticking clock and give thanks that as we watch and wait in the wilderness with Christ, we are drawn into the mystery of God. For this is our hope, and it is what Lent is all about. Amen.